Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Glad to have you with us. All I want in this Twitter poll that we have, you have 47 minutes to get in. We have 20 votes. That means we've got to continue to pound it home. By the end of the show, we will have a quickie poll. By the way, if you like polls, next week, we got, I'm going to call it Twitter bowl polls. Twitter bowl polls about bowl matchups and your favorite bowl games and all this stuff. Hashtag bowl polls.
Do you think we should do 39 polls? As there are 39 bowl games?
No. No, I don't. I don't believe that.
Best bowl name. That's definitely going to be a
best
poll.
Best bowl name. I want to go matchups. I want to go locales. I want to go interesting match. I want to go best non-New Year's Six. Best game before December 20. Like, we're going to have so many of these. And we got to narrow down the list at some point. But part of me wants to do 15 polls, do one an hour through the whole week. Now, that might be a little aggressive, but that would keep people going on Twitter all day. It would keep traffic high.
That sounds so fun.
I know. That's what we're going to do next week.
Sounds like a traffic jam. That sounds like rush hour.
Remember how last year we did final exams and we gave away a bunch of stuff?
Yes, I do.
I don't know that we have a bunch of stuff to give away. If we do have stuff to give away, then we'll do final exams during exam week. But this could be like the final exams. Like polls. We'll just see the pulse of the audience.
Polls, all types of polls.
Yes.
I hope you get that reference.
Yes, I did.
And
is that Missy Elliott?
No.
Isn't that Missy Elliott?
It's from SNL's original Back Home Ballers.
Okay, well. It's also Missy Elliott, I think.
We're also going to do bowl gifts.
Boys, all type of boys.
Oh,
you
got it.
Like, that's what she said. That's what she said. Look that up, Sanders.
Okay,
type
Michael
in
Scott.
Boys, all type of boys.
Dude, what?
It's Missy. It's that song, Is It Worth It?
I don't know.
Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Don't know if I should type that down on Google. Missy Elliott.
Just do it.
Oh, dear
Just
gosh.
Do it. You know what I'm talking about?
I guess so.
Is it worth it?
Stop me, it.
Like
Stop.
That. That song. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway. Yeah, right.
Nope.
Sanders knows the song. He knows the jam.
Nope.
Sanders was talking about new music earlier today, but that was a throwback.
That is from the song Work It.
That's what I'm saying. Boom. So I was not wrong. We were not on the same page, but
Congrats.
I was not wrong.
Congrats. You know Missy Elliott lyrics.
That was middle school basketball locker room. We played it all the time. All right. Right now, currently, with 44 minutes to go, Bobby Petrino. Who's the second best coach in the Atlantic Division? I put Petrino. I put Taggart. And then because we couldn't think of a third and fourth option because some people might go. I'm sorry. I almost said Doran. I'm sorry. I can't imagine. Is Doran the worst coach in the Atlantic?
Yes, he
That's
is.
A chance.
Who's worse than
That's
him?
It's a chance. I mean, Steve Adazio's not great.
No, but
I
people
like
love Adazio.
Yeah. So we couldn't figure out whether we wanted to put Adazio or Babers.
Clawson
in there. We couldn't figure out what to do with that. Who are we missing in the Atlantic? Who, like Dabo, Petrino, Taggart, Doran? Like, who are we missing?
We're not missing anybody. We said Babers.
Doran, Babers, Adazio. Okay,
yeah,
Adazio, Clawson.
Yeah,
so that's seven. Okay. The poll simply is, who's the second best coach in the Atlantic Division? You can go to at 105.5 The Roar, at Kwok Talk, and get that done. Bobby Petrino and Willie Taggart currently tied at 36%. Other is 28%. Sanders, snark. I was looking for maybe a tally of people.
Did you see Sanders' comment?
Brent Venables. Thanks, Sanders. We got a couple of Clawsons and an Adazio in there.
I mean, Kwok, here's the thing. Is he wrong?
I mean...
Brent Venables is the second best coach in the ACC Atlantic.
He's the best defensive coordinator in America.
Sandy's not wrong.
Honestly, if I were to say, it would be either Venables or Jeremy Pruitt. And Pruitt's now a head coach. Those are my two favorite defensive coordinators.
Oh,
the two best defensive coordinators.
I thought you meant in the Atlantic.
No. I'm just saying defensive coordinator.
No love for Bud Foster.
No. Well, not right now.
No love.
Bud Foster's doing a nice old job. He's doing a nice old job. By the way, answers like Justin Fuente and Larry Fedora are not going to work because they're in the Coastal.
Mm.
Atlantic Division.
Do your research.
Yeah. All right. So in the ACC Atlantic, we talked about you would take from Jimbo being the second best coach. Would you have had Jimbo a second before the year?
I would have. Yes.
So you think Florida State? So wait a minute. Do you think Florida State downgraded from Jimbo to?
Yes, I do.
To Willie Taggart, you think they downgraded a little bit?
Is that not?
Do you think they downgraded a large amount?
A no-brainer.
How much do you think they downgraded?
You downgraded from a man who won a national title to a man who has won 7 games in the Power 5.
No. That's just so. That is rude. That is rude to Willie Taggart.
You have this blind faith.
It's
this
not blind.
Faith in things unseen in William Taggart. You really do.
What? Who was better than Willie Taggart for Florida State?
Well, I think they got the best available, but I don't think he's a better coach than Jimbo Fisher.
Willie Taggart's football team lost their quarterback for half the season. And finished with a better record than Jimbo Fisher's team this year. In the 1 year, they were both in the Power 5, both had quarterback injuries, and Willie Taggart won more games than Jimbo Fisher did.
Florida State also played a much more difficult schedule.
Moderately more difficult schedule, I would say. Florida State, two of Florida State's wins were against Delaware State and UL Monroe.
You're the one who,
let's not,
who is the captain of the Pac-12 is terrible bandwagon, so...
I think
don't
look,
pretend
I don't
Oregon
think the Pac-12
played a who's
great.
Who here.
I don't think the Pac-12 is great, but that's just because there's not an elite team. Oregon played Stanford. Oregon played Washington and Washington
State.
And
they did not lose Herbert for the whole year. They did not lose their quarterback for the whole year.
He missed like five
Jimbo
games.
Did.
He missed like five games in the middle of the season in year one, not year six where you've recruited all the guys you have. He basically was playing with a hand he was dealt, took a 3-win team to 7 wins and lost his quarterback for half the year. That's a great season.
I think
Oregon.
Willie Taggart is a good hire for Florida State. I think he was the best hire that they could have gotten at the current time. And I think he's going to do fine at Florida State. That being said, he is still a downgrade from Jimbo.
I think he's a little bit of a step down from Jimbo. A little bit of a step
now,
down.
Now, maybe he's going to complain less, and that would be great for
he's
Florida
He's definitely going to complain less.
He's maybe less of a whiny baby.
Any more than Jimbo Fisher complained about his situation.
I just don't, like, I don't think winning a national title is negligible. I don't care if you do it with Jameis Winston, and apparently that's the only, you know, the only time you ever won any football games with Jameis Winston. You still won a national championship.
Jimbo Fisher's a good coach. I think Willie Taggart's a good coach, just a little bit worse than Jimbo. I do want to see Willie Taggart actually win with a recruiting class graduating because he hasn't done that in any of his 3 spots. That's my number one principal concern about Taggart is that his first 3 jobs he's left before any recruiting class that he recruited graduated has not seen it. And you better believe that's a thing that people use on a recruiting trail. So, all right, in the SEC East, how would you rank the coaches in the SEC East before the year? Who would have been the number one coach for you in the SEC East prior to the season in the Eastern Division of the Southeastern Conference? This goes to the principal concern.
That is tough.
That there were no good coaches in this league. It was Nick Saban and the Dwarves, the 13 Dwarves. That's who it was.
And we talked about that. We agreed on that going into the year. I think we even had this conversation before the year. And I didn't know who to say was the best coach in the SEC East. I think maybe at the time I would have said McElwain because he had won 2 divisions.
That's you would have said yes. We would have said Jim McElwain. He was fired this year.
And he was
best
terrible.
Coach. You would have said him. Second best coach, you might have said Mark Stoops, right? Mark Stoops of Kentucky?
Yeah, I think I would have.
And then maybe you would have gone...
People were high on Derek Mason.
People were high on Mason.
Offseason.
I don't think they would have put Mason above Smart or Muschamp before the year. I'm trying to think what I would have said before the year. I probably would have said Kirby Smart 3, Muschamp 4.
Yeah.
I probably would have done that before the year. And then maybe Derek Mason 5, Butch Jones 6, because we thought that thing was going to crash and burn.
And look, no love for Barry Odom, and him and Missouri aren't doing too bad right now.
That's true. And then, yeah, Barry, I would have said Barry O's done.
Right.
And he looked finished at 1-5, then won 6 in a row.
Which is unbelievable.
Got the Josh
Heupel. Well, and think
Josh
about
Heupel.
It too. Think about what Missouri has that pretty much no one else in the SEC East has. They got offense.
Well, they did. Their OC just went to
UCF.
Well,
yeah, but I don't think it's just going to completely stop.
I wouldn't think so. Although Barry Odom is a defensive guy, and when he went and got Heupel, that was because their offense, they needed a jolt.
Is that Mizzou quarterback leaving? Is he eligible to leave yet?
I think he's eligible to leave. I think it's his third year, but I don't think he's leaving.
I haven't
leaving.
Seen Drew him Locke. On any draft boards
no,
or anything.
No, his development has been basically zero because they had the 1 year, like the transitional year, and then Odom became he really hasn't had offensive tutelage to be able to develop like Chase Daniels or somebody like that that came before him. So then in the East now, when you replace McElwain, who was the best coach in the division, with Dan Mullen, and you replace Jones with Pruitt, who's the best coach in the SEC East. And then we've seen more from Smart and Muschamp. We've seen more from Derek Mason. We've seen more from Barry O and Stoops. What would be your ranking now? I think you got to put Mullen one, don't you? Isn't he the best coach in the division?
Yeah.
Based on the sample size, and I'm still not convinced this is going to stick.
I'd put Smart too.
I would put Kirby Smart at number two. If you just, and again, I think the best thing to happen to Kirby Smart was a bunch of Mark Richt's players stayed longer than they probably should have. And they're going to play for a national championship.
I know Dan Mullen's done so much with so little, especially at Mississippi State, but Kirby Smart did win the SEC. I mean, he didn't just win the division.
He won the title. Yeah.
He won the SEC.
He won the SEC.
So I might put Kirby Smart one.
I think, and I said this about Kirby Smart's team this year, and the Georgia fans are going to be so mad at me when I say this. How many times this year did Kirby Smart's team walk into a game where you were like, I don't know if they should win this, and they won it?
Last week. That was the first time.
I picked Georgia.
On the Plains.
On the Plains.
The first hour match.
Where they lost by 30. They lost by, 23 at the end, but they discovered the minute left. They lost by 30 in that game. I'm just saying, I think Kirby Smart was blessed with a lot of talent when he got there. And he's coached him up really well. Now, I want to see if he can develop his own talent that same way when all these guys that came back for their senior years in what was an unprecedented move that shocked everybody, even Georgia fans and homers didn't think all those guys are going to come back. They all come back, and they played well. They did really well. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now and say he's number two. Number three, I mean, Muschamp did a pretty good job this year. You got to say maybe Kentucky underachieved. I would go Muschamp three. And you know what? I'd probably go Mark Stoops four, Barry Odom five, and Pruitt six.
Yeah.
And then Derek Mason seven because that was bad. That was really bad. What happened to them at the end of the year? They were outscored in conference games by 166 points.
I agree with that order.
You agree with that?
I'm good with that.
Pruitt at six seems disrespectful, but I'm going to give Stoops the benefit of the doubt that he still won seven games at Kentucky and went 4-4 in that division, which is not negligible there.
And Pruitt's still never been ahead. I mean, he's never coached a game as a head coach.
Right.
So
he's also a defensive coordinator in there where defensive coordinator hires generally don't work. And I'm not sure it's going to work at Tennessee. And you give Muschamp the benefit of the doubt, too. With an offense that ended up with the coordinator fired, they still scored more than they gave up in the league and overall and went 8-4. It went from 3 wins to 6 wins. Wasn't it 6 wins last year and then 8 wins this year? Maybe 9 with the bowl game? You got to give him some props for what he did there. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at the SEC West. We'll get to some snow day headlines and a little stock watch wrapping up this Friday snowy edition of Out of Bounds. But before we go anywhere, we've got to remind you that lounging is living. And we know this, guys. We understand this. I've been lounging after the show for 2 days, right? Sandy knows it. He's rocking sweatpants in the studio today. He knows it. Drizzy on the sweater right there. He knows it, okay? But what about her? What about that girl in your life? We like to lounge. The girl, you know, the girls love to lounge, and you love to lounge in pajamas, ladies. You know this. If you want to show her the cozy side of life this Christmas, I've got just the thing. It's the new, brand spanking new, Live In It lounge set exclusively from pajamagram.com. Comfy hood, lightweight feel, plush pajamas. She'll stay warm but never too hot, which is very important. Whether you're relaxing, reading, or winding down, she'll love the flattering fit and stretch comfort of the Live In It lounge set. Plus, you don't even have to wrap it because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. For more information to order these Live In It lounge set pajamas, go to pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. That's pajamagram.com, 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them Quawk sent you, please.
I am a girl and I approve this message.
There we go. Kelly approves.
We enjoy lounging and being comfortable while we lounge.
Short break when we come back. How about a little SEC West coaching power rankings? We'll do that when we return. Stay with us. More Out of Bounds coming up next.
Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the Motor Mile.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
Purple Haze in Anderson and Clemson has an assortment of really cool stuff to create a unique experience. Body jewelry, glassware, and party favors. Voted best piercing studio in the upstate, there's nothing like the Purple Haze experience. Decorate with accessories, incense, and posters. Purple Haze now features Queenly Slimes by Abby J. It's therapeutic and great for stress relief. Feel the experience. Purple Haze in Clemson across from Publix and 3448 Cinema Avenue in Anderson next to Dazzler's and behind Grady's. Purple Haze.
If your current housing situation makes you cringe more than hearing Jesse Palmer call a game, then call me, Jana Candler, and I'll help you make the right call. 313-6990.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. Online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
Have you met John from the Butcher's Block in Anderson? John has some exciting news you've been waiting for. Their Meat and Three has had such a fantastic response, they are now offering their full menu, including the Meat and Three, on Sundays from 11 to 3. Food's so scrumptious, you'll want to come back again and again. While the Butcher's Block in Anderson is the best place to be for their deli and Meat and Three, they also have awesome pre-prepared meals for those nights you just can't pull it together. Everything you need to feed the family, all ready to go. They've got 10 different tailgate packages to choose from, too. Swing by and pick it up on the way to the stadium, and it's ready to toss on the grill. They have a meal of the week that they post on Facebook with your chance to win it. If you have an event you need catered, they can handle everything. And they're a full-service butcher, too. More food, more choices, and more opportunities to enjoy the Butcher's Block, 1702 North Main Street in Anderson. Or give them a call at 864-359-2099.
New management, new attitude. Two great reasons to buy a new or certified pre-owned vehicle from Kia of Anderson. During the Kia Light Up the Holiday sales event at Kia of Anderson, you could ride home in a new 2017 Kia Soul. Just $189 a month. The 2017 Kia Soul is the J.D. Power & Associates highest rated compact multi-purpose vehicle 3 years running. Whether it's a new 2017 or 2018 Kia or a certified pre-owned vehicle, discover the new Kia of Anderson at the Kia Light Up the Holiday Sales Event. New management, new attitude, Kia of Anderson, Highway 76 in Pendleton, between Anderson and Clemson. Kia of Anderson, the power to surprise.
Soul must have J.D. Power's IQ accolade to qualify with approved credit. 36-month lease with $19.99 down, due at signing. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
To secure an escape from reality.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that.
This is a fun tweet from Mike here. Yeah, at Quack Talk, I think UGA had some talent, just no rings. This is a quote tweet, Pick Six Previews. Outline the programs with the most wins the last 5 years. Alabama has 62, Clemson has 61, Ohio State has 59, Georgia 56. So Georgia in the last 5 years has more wins, which should typically equate with more talent. So again, like I said, I'm not... You know, I get the same tweet like every 2 days from the guy who points out like back in 714 days ago at 7:52 p.m., Quark said that Kirby Smart was Jim Donnan and Ray Goff. And so, like, I see that tweet and I'm like, well, my initial reservation was that Kirby Smart would eventually get them back to that point, that he would eventually be worse than Mark Richt. I'm not going to act like Kirby Smart's arrow is pointing up until I see it. The leadership on this team is Mark Richt's recruits. Has he done a better job with Mark Richt's players than Mark Richt did? Probably. You can make that case. I think Mark Richt did a better job with Al Golden's players than Al Golden did. You want? I mean, if you just want to put cards on the table there.
I mean, Quack, they made the playoff. They won the SEC.
That's why I'm giving Kirby Smart credit.
It's not like they've made just negligible improvements.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yes, I would agree with that. Now, they also benefited from the fact that Florida fired their coach. South Carolina is not as good as they were late in Mark Richt's tenure. I mean, Tennessee is a dumpster fire this year. They won 9 games the last 2 years. Dumpster fire this year. Other than Georgia, this is the worst division.
I mean, wouldn't you say Clemson benefited this year from Florida State being a dumpster fire?
Yeah, but that's a little bit to overlook the fact that Clemson had previously been elite.
Let's do this. Let's do a fun exercise. Okay. Repeat after me.
Okay.
I, William Quackenbush. Give Georgia.
Credit.
For making. The college football playoff.
Okay. And I do. I just don't want to make that sound like I'm saying Kirby Smart's going to be there 20 years and they're building a statue.
I think we made a good first step in the right direction.
Have I not given Georgia credit this year?
No.
By the way, didn't you say, you were off Georgia last week. You were the one who was saying on Monday, you were like, what happened to Georgia? I thought we were off Georgia. Why did they even make the playoff? You just flip that around on me?
Well, no, Quack, listen. First of all, I gave Georgia credit the whole year. Don't flip this. You know I did.
I know. When they were beating Kentucky 50-3,
you
were so impressed.
And
you wore your Kirby Smart sleeve tattoo to work every day.
I said this. Don't twist my words. Don't twist them. I said this when we were in Ruston on Monday. Georgia deserves to be in the playoff. If you win the SEC, you get in the playoff.
Yes,
that's
they
the
deserve
bottom
to be
line.
In. They did.
So there's no dispute for me there.
Correct.
My question was, and this was more of a national landscape question, is that to me it seemed like people had given up on Georgia. And then all of a sudden they're in, and there wasn't much of a dispute about it. Now, if we're going to go back to this debate, if conference championships don't matter, then why is that the only deciding factor why Georgia got in? Does that make sense?
Bingo.
But
I agree with
all that being
that.
Said, I still give them credit for winning the SEC and getting in. I mean, that is not a negligible accomplishment. That's a big deal. And from where Georgia was, they played in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl last year, right?
Yeah.
Or am I right on that? Where'd they play? No, they played.
It was one of those. It was not a great bowl game.
Tax Slayer Bowl?
I'll go back and look at it.
Maybe Tax Slayer. Point being,
I've got my bowl manifesto in the works. I might be able to
get that from last year. They fired Mark Richt because he was winning 9 games and not bringing Georgia into the national picture.
The AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
The Liberty Bowl.
They were 8-5 last year. They beat TCU in a bowl game.
And that's exactly why Georgia brought in Kirby Smart, to get Georgia back to the national picture. And he's done that.
He did.
You got to give him credit.
I give him credit for it.
Okay, cool.
I do. And don't think anything else besides that, Georgia fans. Giving you that much. In the SEC West, Kelly, before the year was Saban won, and then what would we have said in the SEC West?
For number 2?
Yeah. Who would the second best coach have been?
Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen would be second. And we actually talked about that we thought Mullen was the second best coach in the SEC before the year. Then after that, what would you say? By the way, he just got removed from the equation.
Then after that, I would have put the five men's faces on a wall, closed my eyes, and thrown a dart.
All right, let's do this. Gus Malzahn, number three.
Yeah, Malzahn three.
Malzahn would have been three, probably. And then you're looking at Sumlin.
Even though, do you know what we all forget right now, Kwok? Is that Gus Malzahn was one overturned call away from being fired last year when LSU lost on the Plains. When LSU scored and the call was overturned.
That's why all Arkansas thought they could lure him away. Because he knows if he goes 2-2 in September next year for whatever reason, he's back on the hot seat regardless of what happened this year.
If that call isn't overturned, Gus Malzahn is now the head coach at Arkansas.
Yes, 100%. If Auburn loses this year, even one more game, if they lose out to Alabama in the Iron Bowl, I think he's a coach at Arkansas.
I think you're right.
I really believe that. I'm not sure what I would have. I think Sumlin probably underneath Malzahn at four still. Maybe Bielema at four, just because generally speaking, he's probably a little more respected, like
what
in a coaching
Coach
fraternity. Coach O would have been last.
Dead even last?
I would have counted Hugh Freeze as before the season. I would have counted him as before the season.
When was Hugh Freeze fired?
Like right before, like maybe July.
Okay, all right.
I think it was July. Maybe June. I can't remember. June, July, whatever it is. Let's see. Yeah, I probably would have done that. That's probably where I would have ended up. Freeze, like maybe six. Bielema five. Sumlin four. I'd give Sumlin over Bielema because Bielema has been terrible at Arkansas. And then Orgeron last. Now, with these changes, how would you rank the coaches?
Saban one.
All right.
I think I'd have Malzahn, I guess. Malzahn two.
Malzahn, I would probably go, well, I might go Jimbo two.
You might go Jimbo two. I mean, Malzahn's done it.
Well, I'll go Malzahn.
Malzahn just won that division.
Right. Malzahn just won the division. I'll go Malzahn two and then Jimbo three. Yeah.
Jimbo three. And then, I don't know. I mean, you and I both believe in Chad Morris.
I think Chad Morris is four. I think clearly Chad Morris is the fourth best coach in that division. Clearly.
Right. Because
better than the other three.
The Mississippi schools are both, they're six and seven, whichever order you want to go, I think. And I think Coach O might be six. I might put him five, Kwok, even though he lost to Troy, just because he did right the ship. Like, he salvaged that year.
I need to know what happens if Matt Canada takes another job. Like, he's been rumored to be in the mix at Lafayette. He's been rumored to be in the mix maybe at South Alabama. If he takes another job, what do they do offensively?
They do the same damn thing.
To me, Canada is really, really, really good.
They keep doing
really good.
Matt Canada is really good, and he might move on, but they still don't have a quarterback, and they never will.
They may not. They went 9-3 this year with Canada.
You just made me say the D word.
I know. Apparently that was Coach
O. It's LSU.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
I can say that word, right?
They have the longest active winning streak in the SEC outside of Missouri. Missouri has won six in a row. Georgia's won three in a row. LSU's won three in a row to close the year. So I give Orgeron a little credit.
Yeah, I think you got to give him a little credit.
Yeah. So where does that leave the SEC? And now I want to get to some snow day headlines.
Are they better or worse is the main question.
Yeah, like, did they close the gap on the ACC? Because I got Jimbo an upgrade over Sumlin. I got Morris a big upgrade over Bielema. I got Mullen a big upgrade over, no, actually, I got Mullen and Moorhead basically even. I got Pruitt a slight upgrade over Butch Jones. And then I got McElwain basically Mullen with a massive upgrade over McElwain.
I think overall the SEC got better.
They definitely got better. And you would say maybe the ACC, I'm going to say they got a tad worse with Taggart as opposed to Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although
so.
Jimbo did just finish 5-6.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't know that they closed the gap entirely because you still have first-time head coaches as three of your six hires. Mm-hmm. I think Arkansas got appreciably better. I think Texas A&M is going to be closer to winning championships. Florida got appreciably better. And to me, if Florida gets appreciably better, then that's another national title contender.
Yeah.
Because they already were winning the division. So, yeah, I get it. I think they've closed the gap. But, again, the ACC's hierarchy coach is pretty doggone good. Although, if you look at it, Kirby Smart's in the playoff. The coach he replaced, Mark Richt, won the Coastal and got smacked in the ACC championship game. Although, Kirby Smart got smacked in the SEC championship game last year by Alabama.
No, Florida played.
Florida got smacked in the SEC championship.
Do you find it kind of ironic that Mark Richt is winning all these Coach of the Year awards? Because they all voted, I guess, before the ACC championship game. Here's your Coach of the Year award, Mark Richt. I know you just got beat by 35, but here it is.
I'm so mad that Mark Richt had to play Clemson in the championship game. Because remember when I said that Mark Richt would win more games at Miami than Kirby Smart would at Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
You were close.
I've been right from this point, from game zero, from ground zero
well,
to now.
Well, Miami played one less game, so you were at a disadvantage there.
That's right. Obviously.
You want to do a few snow day
headlines?
Let's
do some snow day headlines. We got snow day headlines and stock watch to close out the show today.
Snow day headlines today are brought to you by Christopher Truck, 66 years in business, a name known around the upstate. They have tons of new and used inventory in stock, work-ready trucks, dump trucks, box trucks, Sprinter vans, Isuzu, OTR, Freightliner, Western Star. And I'm pretty sure all these trucks can survive the snow. So let's just put it that
way. I'm pretty positive in that as well.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Their service department is open 7 a.m. until midnight. They do RV maintenance. Make sure you get the RV serviced and repaired over at Christopher Trucks. And check out all their inventory on ChristopherTrucks.com. Quack, I have a few snow day headlines for you. I think just three today. We'll keep it short and sweet. The first thing, we're talking about Florida. This pertains to what's going on at UF. Four schools now are going to be sponsored by Jordan. Have you seen this?
Jordan brand, yes.
The Jordan brand. Of course, these are all schools in the Nike umbrella that have now become Jordan because Jordan is affiliated with Nike, as we know. The four schools are, the first one was actually Michigan. Remember, this was a couple years ago when Michigan football started wearing the Jordan brand and their basketball wears it as well. Oklahoma is Jordan. Oh, well, North Carolina was the first one. Never mind. North Carolina was the first. North Carolina, remember, their football is now wearing Jordan, which is interesting.
That is
interesting.
Oklahoma
is switching to Jordan. We saw this last month for football and basketball. And now Florida. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about a football team wearing the Jordan logo on their jersey?
I think it's weird.
I think it's weird, too.
It'd be like a tennis player wearing the TW.
Also,
it's just not the same.
Not just any football team. I mean, the one thing that's Oklahoma and Michigan, storied football programs, right? And you're putting the Jordan logo on there?
Yes.
What would Barry Switzer think? Right?
I don't love it.
Yeah.
I don't love it. That's a basketball branding thing. If a Nike school wants to brand itself with Jordan brand, that's fine, but I don't love it.
I think it helps you in recruiting because it's a unique thing you can kind of sell to recruits, but I'm still not a big fan. I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon about that. My second hump day headline has to do with, this is a little bit of an NBA nugget, real quickly. Our dear friend Blake Griffin. Now, have you heard what's going on with Blake? You know he's hurt, right?
He's hurt. Other than that, I don't know.
He hurt his MCL. And you know Blake has some injury issues. He's kind of been hurt throughout his career.
Oh, really?
He's an exceptional talent. But
better
he's
question,
hurt.
How many games has Blake Griffin played?
Right. Remember he punched that equipment manager that one time and was out for a couple weeks. Latest news of Blake Griffin. He is dating a Kardashian.
What?
Yes. And we know about the Kardashian curse. We've seen it with many, many athletes.
Lamar. Tristan Thompson.
Reggie Bush a little bit had some issues. Chris Humphries fell off the face of the earth after he married and divorced Kim K.
Absolutely. They are the kiss of they are the legitimate kiss of
James Harden. James Harden's worst season. He was dating Khloe Kardashian.
Tristan Thompson became a 4-2 guy. Remember after he got paid all that money, I said it was the worst contract
in
the league?
He's also hurt.
4-2 guy.
He's also hurt.
Lamar Odom OD'd trying to get out of the Kardashian family.
That's terrible. Blake Griffin is dating Kendall Jenner, who is a Kardashian.
Basically, yeah.
So people are just all abuzz that this injury is her fault.
It is her fault. It's all her fault.
Blake Griffin gets hurt all the time. But still, Blake, I'd be careful. My final snow day headline today has to do with a young man who is taking over college basketball. It's not Marvin Bagley III. Have you heard of Trae Young?
No.
You don't know who Trae Young is?
No. Is it Trae? If it's not Trae Song's actual name, then no. I don't know who it is. Okay.
Sandy, have you heard of Trae Young?
Is he the point guard from LSU?
No, he's the point guard for Oklahoma. Close, though. Trae Young is averaging 28.7 points per game.
That ain't bad.
At the PG spot for OU.
Lon Kruger.
As well as 8.7 assists per game.
That ain't bad.
And many are calling him the next Steph Curry. If you get a chance to watch him, if OU's playing, they played in that PK80, and they're going to play some big games. Watch him this year. He has been unbelievable. He shoots it like Steph. He's also crafty like Steph. And he can pass it to like Steph Curry. And if you look at his numbers this year, as a freshman, he's from Norman. He went to Norman High School, and Lon Kruger kept him at home, which is a big deal. His first game, they played Omaha. He had 15 points, all right? Since then, these are his point totals, and I'll give you assists as well since that starting game, all right? 22-13, 28-5, 33-8, 43-7, 32-10, and 28-8. Against Oregon, he had 43 points and 7 assists. And against Portland out in that PK80, he had 33-8. He's been incredible. Against Arkansas, he had 28-5, and Arkansas is a really good team. They lost by 9.
So he's been balling against the best teams they played.
Yes, and OU went 11-20 last year after they lost Buddy Hield and coming off that Final Four. They're now 6-1, and this guy is incredible. So he's the freshman you maybe have not heard about yet, but if you get a chance to watch OU, if they're ever on TV, just take a second and watch him because he's extremely fun to watch. He shoots it like Steph. And he's averaging 28.7 points per game as a freshman, as well as 8.7 assists for Lon Kruger out in Norman. So keep an eye on him.
How about that? Thanks for bringing attention,
there's
Kelly.
Some snow day that's headlines that you might have missed while you've been talking about all these coaching carousels.
Appreciate that. Thanks very much for a little snow day headline. When we come back, a couple of thoughts here. We'll update the poll that we have on Twitter. Who's the second best coach in the Atlantic? Willie Taggart, Bobby Petrino, or other? Right now, it's neck and neck. We got about 10 minutes left in that poll at Quag Talk, at 105.5 The Roar, at Kelly Graham, like at Sanders Sullivan. You can hit us up there throughout the show. Final segment, little stock watch coming up next.
Every now and then, Ramona successfully wins Walt's money. It's hard to come by, but she deserves every dollar she gets. In the spirit of the holiday, you'll have a chance to win Walt's tickets. Listen all this week as Walt gives away 3-day passes to this year's Carolina Rebellion, May 4th through 6th at the Rock City Campgrounds at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This year's lineup will be jam-packed with great rock bands for 3 straight days, May 4th through 6th. Win Walt's tickets all week from 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
The Clemson Tigers Network is proud to bring you Clemson Tigers men's basketball. The Tigers return home this week to take on Samford this Saturday in Little John Coliseum. The Tigers are ready to roar with another important non-conference matchup at home. The pregame show will start at 2:30. Tip-off is at 3 p.m. Clemson Tigers men's basketball right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
If you're looking for the perfect Clemson gear, then look no further than the Tiger Sports Shop. You can be the ultimate Clemson fan from head to toe with the Tiger Sports Shop's vast selection of orange and purple apparel. Tiger Sports Shop provides everything Clemson for the Clemson fan. Are you looking for the Nike apparel that you see the Clemson players and coaches wearing on the sidelines? We are the exclusive provider of Nike sideline apparel. In Clemson, visit our stores at 1102 Tiger Boulevard or 364 College Avenue in Clemson. Go Tigers!
Right into the new year in your brand new George Coleman Ford, where cars and trucks cost less in Traveler's Rest. Get a $1,000 rebate and 0% financing for 72 months on all 2017 models through January 2nd. And like all deals at George Coleman Ford, no dealer fees. Everyone is eligible. So get to George Coleman Ford in Traveler's Rest right now. 4 generations and over 86 years in business. George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less in Traveler's Rest.
Good on all 2017 models except Super Duty.
Football is here and winter weather is not far behind. Get Old Man Winter ready by shopping Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Vent-free gas logs heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, so they keep you warm even during a power failure. Choose from over 20 burning models of vented and vent-free logs with natural or propane gas. Shop and save at Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, for everything your hearth desires.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
As you search for the ideal Christmas gift, trust Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall to have something for anyone on your list. From a Swiss watch for him to an exquisite diamond bracelet, necklace, or ring for her, Reed's Jewelers will put a smile on their face. North America's largest family-owned jeweler, offering 18 months deferred interest. Granting Christmas wishes for years. Trust them to grant yours. Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
You know Joe's New York Pizza is all about the sauce because I've told you so. Here's the thing, people. They have outrageous wings as well. They're not fried. And if you're up to the task, you can even get them with Cajun Asian sauce. Their meatballs and marinara come with their famous garlic knots. And remember, if you have certain food allergies, Joe's offers gluten-free. Joe's has delivery, and they're great for fundraisers. And the Clemson location caters with two locations in Seneca and Clemson. Joe's New York Pizza.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved Real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
You represent the government of juvenile delinquents.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough to get off in this club and have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it out.
Hey, you found your dream home? Hey, I realized I did it again.
Hey, it's snowing.
That's my thing. Hey. You found a dream home, and now it's time to find mortgage financing. It can be a daunting task. Just what do you look for? How about a Clemson grad, born and raised in the upstate? He's a native. He knows the area. He offers a personalized mortgage experience. His name is Zeke Godfrey. He's with Hanover Mortgage Company. He's got 15 years in the business. He's going to make your home buying experience a breeze, we promise. Call Zeke at Hanover Mortgage today. 516-1376. That's 864-516-1376. Kelly, it has been too long without delay. Oh, by the way, before we start that, breaking news. This is a report now coming from the baseball corners of the universe. Have you heard of this fella? This fella who's coming overseas now to play in the United States? Shohei Ohtani, I believe is how you say his name. The two-way Japanese right-hander that throws 100 and jacks bombs as a left-hand hitter.
Okay, when you said two-way, for a second I thought you meant he could throw with both his right and left arms.
No. He throws right, bats left,
I'm still waiting for that.
Baller.
Hey, I'll watch baseball when a pitcher just switches arms, like pitch to pitch. That'd be amazing.
Basically, there's a source that says baseball's just going to investigate this whole process because it's been so screwy the whole time. But the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have landed Shohei Ohtani, the 23-year-old prize of the international pool this offseason. Props to them.
He will go play for a team and no one will care.
Playing in LA, I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty good deal, especially for a team that doesn't have a lot of young talent.
And a team that's trying to compete with that team across town is all the rage.
You knew he's going to go West Coast though. Or to say, a lot of those, like Seattle, the reason Ichiro picked Seattle is because, like, on the West Coast, there's a larger pool of Japanese citizens on that side of the globe than this one.
You're just a hop, skip, and a jump from your home
from
country.
Japan, right?
Just
exactly
a
right.
20-hour flight.
L.A. There is an ambidextrous pitcher.
Is there?
Yeah.
That's
there is
cool.
One. Yeah.
I got to see that.
For sure.
What do you do with your glove? So many questions. Do you have like a universal glove?
You have one that like the holes are equal.
Oh.
So you can put it on either hand.
That's awesome.
You can flip it around. It's pretty cool. That leads us into stock up to the Angels, stock up to Otani. The thing is over. Ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Stock Watch.
Who's got worth this week? It's time for the Stock Watch on Out of Bound.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it. Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Ladies and gentlemen, back from the dead, dusting this joker off. It's time for the Out of Bounds Stock Watch. Unbelievable. I'm going to begin with this just for you, Kelly. Kawhi Leonard stock up. May return to action on the floor this weekend. You got to love it. You got to love Kawhi coming back. Your thoughts on Kawhi coming back to the Spurs after missing significant time with injury?
I mean, it has to happen. It has to happen. The Spurs are putting out guys I've never even heard of on the floor. And you know things are bad. You know that San Antonio misses Kawhi. You know Mother Nature wants him back when it snows in San Antonio. That's a problem. Kawhi has to come back.
All right, so stock up to him. Stock down to LaVar Ball. We haven't talked nearly enough about this with the Ball family and how LaVar has pulled Jello out of UCLA.
Wait, I thought we agreed never to speak of these people again.
We have to talk about him again because now LiAngelo is going to go play overseas, and apparently LaMelo is also playing overseas. This is a disaster. Lonzo Ball's getting Jason Kidd comparisons, and not in the flattering way. In the he better overcome this thing where he can't shoot or score outside of right around the basket, or he's not going to be anything in the NBA. And then all of a sudden you've got LiAngelo, and then I read this sentence about LaMelo Ball. There's no way he's eligible for the NCAA because he has his own shoe line right now. Someone actually wrote that in a story.
Right.
There's no way
there's
no eligible. Way. So, I mean, putting these guys overseas, LaVar Ball thinks he can train. If he thinks he's better than UCLA or these college coaches at training his kids, then he probably also thinks he's better than Phil Knight at selling shoes. I mean, this guy's a piece of work.
I mean, the man thinks he's better than Michael Jordan, so
that's true.
He is.
LaVar Ball is a guy who runs his mouth. Like, I had this friend, runs his mouth all the time, and you just keep thinking, like, sometime this is going to come back to bite this guy. Right now it works because it's kind of like, because nobody's willing to, like, take a swing at him. UCLA took a swing at him a little bit with the unbelievable, what is this, LaVar Ball on Twitter? What is that? What are you showing me, Sanders? What is that?
This LaVar Ball posted a tweet. And it's his Bitmoji dunking on President Trump.
Yeah, he took a shot at Trump with a with a gif.
I'm sure.
Sorry,
on Twitter. When you think that when two world leaders have to bail your son out of a foreign jail, you're probably not going to, you're not supposed to respond to that with, it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal. Whether you think it should have been a big deal or not is irrelevant. It was in reality a big deal. And now to act like because it wasn't a big deal, you can just pull your kid out of school and do whatever you want with him. His family is basically going to crash and burn at his hands.
I'm so tired of these idiots, to be honest. I don't care. I'm
get
so tired
here.
Of these people.
Get them out of here.
And you know what? I feel good for Steve Alford. I really do.
Yeah, it's better for UCLA because
he was
Jello wasn't going to play anyway.
Oh my gosh, he was probably so done with this family. Now he didn't have to worry about it. His hands are clean. He's good.
And then, you know, LaMelo wasn't going to play with UCLA. I mean, was LaMelo going to go to UCLA after this? No.
I think that was LaVar's plan.
Straw that broke the camel's back right there. When you get arrested in China.
Did you also see what
done.
He said?
You're
he
out.
Said, everyone else was stealing, so I did too. He threw his teammates under the bus, and he said basically the classic excuse of, well, everyone else was stealing.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
I'm done.
Stock up to the Falcons. They beat the Saints last night by a field goal, intercepted a pass in the end zone.
Big
that
win.
That was a must-win for them. If they want to make the playoffs, they probably needed to win that. Now, they are a little bit in control of their own destiny there, the Falcons are. The Saints, on the other hand, stock down to them. not only did they lose the game where they had the ball with a chance to tie it and threw it into the end zone anyway, into traffic, not a good decision by Breeze, but they also, I mean, the Falcons had some questionable, like they didn't take the penalty late. There were some questionable things that happened there. But then Sean Payton apparently was talking junk to Devontae Freeman or something like that. Sanders, you saw this? You saw this thing. He was talking junk to Devontae Freeman during the game. And then he runs out on the field to, I guess, maybe tell the refs that it was a fumble or something. And he gets a 15-yard penalty at the end of the game when they might have gotten the ball back with a few seconds left on the clock to win it or tie it. A stock down to the Saints in every way in this. Kamara gets hurt. It couldn't have been worse for the Saints last night.
Drew Brees throws that terrible pick.
It was awful. I mean, just awful. Everything that happened there was awful. Stock up to Ty Solomon. The guy, remember him? He collapsed on the bench.
Yes.
The South Carolina State player. His heart stopped beating in the NC State game. 45 minutes, they stopped the action to tend to him. He was released from the hospital.
Good.
I think it was yesterday he was released from the hospital. Really, really good to hear that. His dad went and spoke to the team. Like, that's good. That's one of those feel-good stories. Could have been a tragedy. Now a feel-good story. Sigh of relief for everybody in the South Carolina State program.
And all, because that game was at NC State. The NC State medical personnel that tended to him. We travel with the staff. We know those medical personnel, and they do such a great job.
Yeah, they do. And you know what?
They literally had
to revive him.
They had a kid's life in their hands, and they saved him.
Props to them. Stock down to Mike White for a lesser reason. His Florida team, people loved him. People loved him.
What's going on down there?
Then they lost to Duke by 3. Then they got smacked at home by Florida State. And then they got smacked by Loyola last night. They dropped one to Loyola. Clemson plays them next week. And all of a sudden, KenPom has Florida. Had them up around 10. Now they're down outside the top 20. At like 23 right now. Now, RPI-wise, they're still pretty good because they played a tough schedule. And they've got some quality wins from earlier. But Florida's in a bit of an early December tailspin right now. And Mike White's got to figure this thing out. I don't understand that. They play right with Duke and then lose your next two as home favorites. That doesn't make it easy. Lose one of those games, I get it. Both of them, no. That's a little problematic there.
Remember, they played right with Duke, but they also let Duke back in that game.
Yeah, they should have won the game and choked. They kind of choked it away at the end.
Duke had to come back from, I think it was a 16-point deficit. So, I mean, they did let Duke right back in it.
The next stock up, Trevor Booker. You know how much Trevor Booker's worth in the NBA? Forget where he's going. He's going from the Nets to the Sixers, which is better. He's going to a better team. He had a prominent role with the Nets. He legitimately is worth Jahlil Okafor, Nick Stauskas, and I believe a second-round pick is in there too.
Yeah.
That's Trevor Booker's value in the NBA.
That's amazing.
When's the last time a Clemson player had that type of value in the NBA? Dale Davis with the Pacers maybe in the early 2000s?
He's kind of had a career revival because he's been in the league for a long time and he's still putting up good numbers and he's a great four-man and a good piece to have for any team, especially for a team that needs a few more veterans in Philly. And, I mean, it's weird to say the sentence, but going to Philly is a great team to go to right now.
It is right now. They're
especially when you're coming from Brooklyn. Part of it, too, was the Sixers just wanted to get rid of Jahlil. But still... That's good news for Trevor Booker.
Booker's value in the league might be a little bit skewed in that trade because they did just want to unload Okafor and everybody knew it. So Okafor on the market was probably a lot more valuable than he was for the Sixers and the Nets knew it.
Still big upgrade for Trevor.
It wasn't. How about the haul the Nets got? But that's not bad to get Stauskas and Okafor and a pick for a guy who's coming off your bench.
The rebuild begins.
That's not bad. And then finally, stock down to Rob Gronkowski. We didn't talk about this nearly enough. It might be the dirtiest play I've ever seen. When he goes helmet to helmet with the guy laying on the ground out of bounds. Like, there were guys suspended one game for helmet-to-helmet hits in live action last week, and nothing came even remotely close to Gronk, who also got one game. This is a travesty to me. If we're really serious about head injuries, he should be out for the rest of the regular season. There's nothing more dangerous than a guy laying on...